From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for April 26th, 2019. This weekend, it's the Cedarburg Hootenanny. That's beer tasting and bluegrass at the community center. The Bucks host the Celtics this Sunday in the second round of the playoffs, and the Brewers are in New York with the Metropolitans. Okay, check this out. We may have new remedy for hay fever. According to Iranian researchers, a healthy sex life can alleviate symptoms like watery eyes and a stuffy nose. The upside is it's cheaper than antihistamines, and in most cases, it's more fun, too. Here's a little more research. You may have noticed that beards are everywhere, mostly on men. Well, Swiss scientists swabbed men's beards and dogs' necks, and the results are men's beards have considerably more bacteria than dog fur. One explanation could be that some guys are just gross. And finally, in support of my theory that some guys are just gross, an Ohio man wearing sweatpants taped shut at the ankles walked into a gas station and stole $1,000 worth of Slim Jims by stuffing them down his pants. I rest my case. In the studio today, we have Art Rothschild, Dave Sandstrom, Tom Pappenfuss, Joel Dreesang, and wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
Thanks, Max. Pretty good week. NASDAQ up 1.9% this week, up 148 points. Closed Tuesday with a record high. We finished this week with NASDAQ 8146. S&P 500 up 1.2% this week, climbing 35 points. Also hitting a record high on Tuesday. Finished the week at 2940. Dow Jones Industrial Average short of the record. Lost 0.1% this week, mostly on the heels of 3M. Shedding 16 points for the week. We closed with the bell this afternoon in New York with the Dow finishing the week at 26,543. Year-to-date, NASDAQ up a stellar 23.1%. S&P up 18 for the year. Wow. Dow Jones up 14. This is the best quarter in 30 years. Year-to-date, best in 33 years. You know, Art, let's start with you. The market has clearly responded this winter and spring to the fact that the Fed's not going to raise interest rates anytime soon. That what was dragging the market down in part last fall. NASDAQ in bear market territory briefly, as you know, last fall, only comes springing back. A lot of people point to the fact that the Fed, as recently as last fall, was planning to raise interest rates three, maybe even four times this year. As you well know, in January, the head of the Fed, Jay Powell, said, nope, I'm not going to raise rates anymore. That along with the fact that looks more likely that we're going to get some kind of trade deal with China, and stocks have really taken off.
Yeah, Bob, as you and I have discussed before, it may be a little wishful thinking on the part of the markets with respect to the trade deal, you know, how that might actually benefit investors. But I think it definitely will take away a lot of the uncertainty that caused stocks to decline significantly in the fourth quarter. Back to interest rates. Good news that interest rates are low, but bad news that they're not raising rates because they were concerned about a weakening economy. So I view this as a relief rally more than anything else. It took us 7 months to get back to where we were. I'm glad we're there. I'd rather be making money than losing money. Let's hope that there's not a lot of bad news that might come up and cause these gains to dissipate.
But, you know, Art, I wonder if interest rates are lower now more because of the fact that inflation is down than the sense that the economy could be weakening dramatically. You know, we found out just recently that core inflation buried in the GDP report is just 1.7% for the first quarter. Art, that's a pretty low inflation number.
Yeah, but it's not a good thing for inflation to be below 2% for too long. And that's a concern as well, because if the Fed ends up lowering rates, which it might have to do to stimulate the economy further to really get us more inflation. So the lack of inflation, I think, is a bit of a concern. And low rates, you know, short term, again, I don't see it as a good thing long term. I really want to see the Fed at some point. And some analysts are suggesting that's going to happen within a year or two. Right now, the market, I think, is just, it's like on a sugar high with respect to low interest rates. I want to see more growth. I want to see more inflation within reasonable levels. And I want to see the Fed raising rates a little bit further down the road. I'll take the gains while we've got them, but I'm skeptical of the market's enthusiasm for low interest rates.
Dave, what's your take on current events?
Well, Bob, I think something interesting that we got to continue to keep an eye on is what's going on with the growth rates in China. You mentioned many times on this show that the U.S. economy has never been subject to a recession that was created or started from events overseas, but pointed to the fact that if China, the second largest economy in the world, does take on a situation where they are shrinking drastically, that could have a serious impact on the economy here at home. And so I just point to the fact that we've seen finally starting to see some of the results of China's stimulus programs. They've really doubled down on some of the things they're trying to do with infrastructure spending and tax cuts and some, you know, throwing some real cheap money at their banking system. And we're starting to see that growth rate kind of turn around a little bit. And it's early in that process, of course, but it's some analysts are pointing to the fact that they may be seeing a bottom in that decline there. They shrunk to about 6.6% growth last year and had targeted 6.2 for this year, but now we're already starting to see some revisions that number might be low and they might be headed back the other way.
It's interesting to see the world trade volumes are contracting. The largest drop was exports from emerging economies going to China. So you're seeing fewer and fewer raw materials be produced by the emerging economies and being sent to China, which is pretty damaging evidence about, you know, where they're going. You know, the good news is that we had wonderful GDP numbers come out recently showed the economy is growing at 3.2%. You know, the bad news is that we had a huge surge in inventories that kind of goosed the number. We had benefits of trade, and they're going to be unlikely to be sustained. You know, Dave, when you talk about the slowdown of China, what's curious to me is, you know, every single year we wake up and start the year being cautioned about China. And then, sure enough, sometimes during the year they come in with a pocket full of money and stimulate their economy, and then it fades again. And then they stimulate, and then it fades. And there's going to be a point when you look at the cyclical problems in China compared to the secular problems, the secular problems of dramatic indebtedness, their secular problems of not allowing free flow of capital, are ultimately going to take their toll. But short term, they can dodge that through their stimulus measures and use the cyclical numbers. So there's going to be a point in time where they're going to have to pay for all that. And, you know, I've been embarrassed a number of times by, this is going to be the year where the wheels fall off the cart over there, and only to see that short term they can dodge the bullet. But long term, they're going to have to struggle with all that debt.
You know, and like you mentioned before, that could be that impetus that kind of gets us to that recessionary point if we see those guys have that kind of decline.
Yes.
I think in the near term, just from a, I have kind of an optimistic view, kind of like what we're talking about with respect to, you know, if we have really truly stopped or paused on interest rate hikes, it kind of brings our interest rate or Fed policy more in line with the rest of the world. You know, we're not necessarily lapping everybody else as far as, you know, how much we're expanding relative to everyone else, and it kind of brings us all more in line. And the other thing I look at and what we talk about is valuations. Recently looking at numbers for the emerging markets at a 30-year low relative to U.S. valuations, which from, you know, if we like values, that's something that's, you know, worth paying attention to. Now, when we realize, you know, the gain on something like that is hard to say, but for, you know, most of us here being long-term investors, it's intriguing.
It is intriguing. And, you know, Tom, we have spoken for years about demographic trends. They're clearly in Asia. And you probably have read recently that, you know, they're projecting population declines in China now because of the one-child policy that Mao put into place years ago, that's coming back to haunt them. You know, it's hard to talk about population declines when you're dealing with 1.3 billion people. But for the rest of Asia, you know, their population growth rates continue to accelerate, not decline. And you need two things to increase aggregate net worth, as you know. You need more workers, and you got to make them more productive. But back to the China issue, you know, I read a research report from Capital Economics recently that talked about the winners and losers because of the slowdown in China. And they suggested that, you know, potentially some of the losers are going to be the emerging market economies, not all of them, but the ones that export a lot of raw materials from China. And that in the United States and some other developed countries, that they're really going to dodge the bullet. And the point specifically was that we're heading towards a time where productivity is going to accelerate because of augmented reality, machine learning, and artificial intelligence. We're right on the cusp of all that being implemented. And that the emerging markets have little to gain by that, at least the ones that dig raw materials out of the ground. But the developed economies are going to win big time in increasing their productivity rates. So I think there's going to be some winners and losers. And Tom, to be fair, you know, a lot of emerging markets, like India as an example, you know, they don't have a lot of natural resources. They're really the back office for a lot of the developed world. They're going to be clearly one of the winners. Joel, let's talk about some of the reports that came out. GDP was one. We mentioned that. You had a litany of others.
Yeah, Bob, yeah, just starting with GDP, just getting back to that a second. As you said, you know, there were some of the things that made that report look better than we would expect it to be. Maybe even, you know, they have one report and then they revise the estimate a couple of times after that, and those estimates actually might go down because of the things you said about the inventories and the trade aspects. And also government spending was one of the things that helped the GDP report. One thing that was a little more concerning as far as I was concerned in that is consumer spending. So consumer spending went up by an annual rate of 1.2% in the first quarter. That's down, that's been getting slower each quarter. It was at 3.8%. As recently as the second quarter of last year, and last the fourth quarter of last year, it was 2.5%. And as we know, that consumer spending really helps the U.S. economy. That's, you know, two-thirds of GDP, and we're seeing that slow down, and we keep expecting it not to because, you know, the employment market is so good, and the economy, although it's slowing, is still okay.
I read one report, that said that if you strip out the surge in inventories from the GDP number, you strip out the big increase in government spending because of highways, and you strip out the favorable trade numbers. In English, we had more exports, fewer imports in the United States. They think the real GDP number could be around 1%.
Right, yeah, I saw that too.
So that gives you a sense of, you know, where we're heading. And it's really hard to hang your hat on one number. They tend to be somewhat volatile, as you correctly pointed out. It'll get revised a number of times before they agree on the final number. But you clearly see, you know, we had 3% GDP last year. They think, give or take, it'll average maybe 2% this year, maybe 1.5% next year. You know, one of the things that is starting to get my attention is higher oil prices. I mean, $74 a barrel. Oil surged to a six-month high. It's up 46% this year. I mean, we all know that the higher the price of oil goes, the less that people have to spend shopping and entertaining themselves. So that's going to be something to pay attention to, I think, moving forward. Pretty significant headwind, let alone if it goes higher from here, which it might. So a number of cross currents that
Yeah, especially, Bob, as we're going into the really coming into the driving season. You know, we haven't really started that yet, so we might see that the oil price, that could even get worse.
You know, Tom, let's spend a couple of minutes talking about fixed income. Interest rates have been going down this year. That's a good thing. Bonds are doing really well. In a lot of my portfolios, we're taking a look at extending durations on bonds. We're so used to rates going up, I think it's very unlikely that the Fed is going to raise anytime soon. The futures market indicates that their next move is to lower rates probably late this year. But the point is, it looks obvious to me that this is a good opportunity to extend durations so you don't get re-upped at higher rates sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in my clients' bond portfolios and bond funds that we're seeing, on average, a lot of their bond funds are up anywhere between 2 and 4% just in the first few months. Obviously, we're getting some of that price appreciation from the downward movement in interest rates, which we haven't experienced in about 12 to 18 months. So, yeah, that's a move we're definitely making with a lot of clients right now is for ones that were shorter, much more concerned with the risk of rising rates over the past couple of years. It's a new environment, and I think kind of the washout and the sell-off of leading into, towards the end of last year, it's a great time to review things with your clients and take a look, because there are some new factors that we need to be considering for client portfolios.
You know, Dave, the dollar's been stronger lately, but it's interesting to see that international funds are hanging in there, just almost a 180 from the problems that we experienced last year. Typically, you and I are used to a fair amount of dispersion in our accounts, meaning the performance of the best asset classes are way above the poorest performing assets, but, just about all these funds now are in the 15, 16, 17, 18% range. A couple of the pure diehard value funds are down at 9 or 10%, but for the rest of the market, it's a pretty tight race.
Bob, you bring up a great point, and it is amazing when you look at just reviews recently in the last couple of weeks, how you look up and down that equity section on the performance report, and you're right, there's maybe a couple percentage points that separates any of the different sectors, which is obviously unusual. And it maybe kind of just points to this, you use the term relief rally, I think, and after that steep sell-off that really hit just about every sector really hard in December in the fourth quarter of last year, how everything's kind of coming back together. So I think you're pointing out of something is who's going to be able to extend those gains and what sectors are going to start to maybe atrophy a little bit as we go forward and see how this thing kind of ends up.
If you think big picture, the Fed raised rates from December of 15 to December of 18. And we know that the effects of those higher rates take a long time to be felt in the system. And so my guess is that the softness that we saw in earnings for this quarter, that we're going to see in the second quarter before earnings are expected to accelerate up 8% annualized in the fourth quarter, is due in part by the higher interest rates that already happened. I mean, it can take almost a year for the effects of higher rates to be felt in the system. So the point I'm trying to make is we know that earnings are going to reaccelerate late in the year. And for smart investors, it's important to focus not on what has happened or what's happening now, but what's going to happen. Going to be a little bit offset by the headwinds of higher oil prices, but we've dealt with that in the past. So it's not too hard to envision an environment where late in the year earnings accelerate, the Fed is going to start priming the pump and lowering interest rates. And I learned a long time ago not to fight the Fed, that if the Fed is neutral on rates, that's good for the markets, let alone if the Fed lowers rates, stocks generally do really well. So, we may have made most of the gains for the year at this point, but you look forward till late in the fall where earnings are reaccelerating at a really decent rate, and that spills into 19, and then you start enjoying the effects of potentially lower interest rates moving into next year. It sets the stage for a pretty good year next year. Well, folks, that's the end of yet another Money Talk. We enjoy doing the program. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.